Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, ba-doo.
This podcast is, as always, part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of the Nancy Drew TV show starring Kennedy McMahon. Today, we will be talking Season 4, Episode 7, The Reaping of Hollow Oak.
Ooh. This was such a fun episode.
Oh my God, I absolutely loved it. One of my favorites of the season. So excited to get into it. First, I'd love to say, I have very mixed feelings. This is the halfway point of the season.
I know. I realized that like as the episode finished, I was like, uh-oh. Now we only have half a season left.
Yeah, because there's 13 this season and this was 7. So before we started this episode, we weren't halfway. And when we finished the episode, we were over halfway. So that was dramatic. Just knowing that it's the last one, but we got some really good fun stuff here.
And super excited for what the rest of the season holds for us.
Ooh, I hope they wrap it all up. I know they will.
I know they will, yeah.
Because they knew it was coming. All right. We open up at Nick's place. He and Jade are eating.
An adorable brunch. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Is this the next day from the previous episode? I feel like it was because of what's about to happen with how hot these people come in.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah. Nancy was asking about last night and she talks about here. Yeah. Yes, it was the next day.
But before they get rudely interrupted, Jade asks if Nick has been up to anything. He talks about having a spider problem, which was very cute. A nice way of negating some information.
Okay, I have a problem here because Jade says that they will take out all the flies as long as Nick takes care of the spiders. Jade, that is not the same thing. That's not the same thing at all.
Maybe they're really good with a swatter and they just want to show off their skills. But yeah, flies are annoying. Spiders can be evil, but can also be very helpful for the ecosystem.
Yes, but they can also impregnate you with a demon spider.
A sack of spider.
Yeah. But anyways, Nick does tell Jade that he's running for town council. Then Ace shows up.
Yeah. Jade's like, ask the question again, like, what have you been up to? That was cool. It's really them trying to get info out of Nick. It was a very tender scene, interrupted by Ace being a hot mess. And I was really nervous because these people be popping into this apartment. And I'm like, you don't know who's there. And you're just right. Stealing things.
And then Ace sees that Jade is there and then just decides to stay without an invitation or anything. So Ace is saying that he walked in on Nancy dancing with Tristan and he's upset, but he knows that he can't be upset because blah, blah, blah. And then Jade comes in, comforts him. And I thought this was really great. Says that you can't control how you feel. You can only control what you do with those feelings. And that's when he admits that he released Chunky. Watching Nick in the background was so funny.
Sarah, do you remember why he said he released Chunky? He said he released Chunky because he wants to be free like him.
He's so dramatic.
That was so dramatic. And Nick is like, you did what after we went to all this trouble?
Yeah, you can see him like composing himself in the background. Oh, poor
Being
Nick.
Being so patient. We've all been there where friends have been a lot, but I would have kicked his ass out.
Yeah. And he asks if Nancy knows about it. And Ace says that that was the only thing that could actually make him feel worse right now. And then he goes to settle in and, you know, doesn't care that he's interrupting their date. And that's when Nancy shows up.
Knock, knock.
And then she's going, we need to find the black door that Bree's dad used to cover up Jim Stanley's death, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, Nancy, I know you can be pretty oblivious sometimes when you're focused on a case, but you gotta check the room.
For the best detective in town, she certainly didn't do any sleuthing behind the door where Jade is standing.
Yeah, but she did when Nick was like, this isn't a good time. She sees the shoes, immediately knows her aces, and asks about him.
It makes it about her.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, she's like, yeah, oh, is this a bad time because he saw me?
No, it's a bad time because Jade is there and she doesn't know y'all are ghost hunters.
Nick tries to get them to leave and they're just like, no.
Even if Jade was in on all this information, you're still interrupting someone else's day with just spewing your stuff. With, yes, it's all important, but like, I don't know, text first.
Mm-hmm. Do anything besides just burst in. And this leads to Jade telling Nick that they don't want to be involved in anything shady. And he's like, you know, it's not shady. It's just complicated. And they say it's a shame and leave.
Yeah, after he tells them that Nancy and Ace are leaving and they're like, oh, we're making coffee. Rude. Like, he literally mm-hmm. tried to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, but while they annoyed me with all this, I did keep reminding myself, okay, these are like 19, 20 year olds
mm-hmm.
worried about their feelings. I totally get it. We've all been there. And it led to so many funny interactions through this whole episode.
Oh, but yeah.
Adult me being very rational was like, shut up and get out.
Yep. While they're waiting for Nick to come over, Nancy and Ace are pretty awkward and uncomfortable there. Nancy asks Ace how his night is, or how his night was. And he just says, uneventful. You already see that Nancy's kind of, I mean, with what she said earlier and then this, like, she knows that he's there and doesn't know how to approach him about it.
Mm-hmm. And she apologizes to Nick, but it is the most, like, half-hearted apology. She's like, really sorry for barging in, but this is important and we have to do this right now.
Yeah, I think half is a little too generous. Maybe like a quarter-hearted apology.
She's just saying the line.
Yeah. I think sometimes she does that.
Then something else she does all the time, she goes through the whole monster plot exposition of the season for us, which happens every episode now, which gives me a good chuckle.
Yes, the creature from the woods was dripping the same sludge as the corpses, so they have to be related. They have to find the black door to find the monster and figure it out. They are figuring out, like you've been saying, that they're due for another body because it's been about 20 years.
I did say that. That was exciting. It seemed very anticlimactic when they finally revealed it here.
Yeah, it was old news to us by now.
So they have to find the door and stop the creature. And Nick, being rational and also still annoyed with them, points out, well, this sounds like a Bess problem because Bess is their resident magic person.
Yeah, because Bree's dad died recently. And so they need to do a seance. But unfortunately, they already did talk to Bess and she did what she needed to do and got the feather or whatever from Darlene. And now they need something that Ron touched before he died because Nick and Bree are such BFFs.
So, yeah. So it's on Nick to go get that from her. I'm sure she'll be very willing to do that.
Yeah, they say that he's a calm and collected one. And he's like, not always. And Ace gets on board, too. He's like, it's time for us to call in our MVP.
What? MVP, most valuable player. So they're chanting and he's annoyed, but he agrees. And we go to the title screen and I was really excited. I'm like, he's not going to do well this episode. He's not going to play along this whole episode. And I think you texted me in the moment that he's going to snap.
Yeah. And he does in the best way possible.
Over at the Claw, we have Carson and George going over the defense for breaking into the Historical Society with Bess.
Yeah, Bess keeps talking about all the supernatural stuff. And Carson's like, no, you need to keep it to what I can say in court. And so that's where we get the moment from the trailer. And she's like, there was a spider bite and we had to break in to save someone from a super, super big spider.
Good catch. I forgot about that part from the trailer. I think the image of the spider blocked out everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. The mention of the spider, I will not forget. George has been making her notes in plans and Carson looks at the board and erases it.
But not before the almost always MVP Bess gets a picture for George.
Did you pause and look at it?
You know I didn't.
Okay, so I know. It confirms that Bess is living at the Historical Society because one of the notes is charged with breaking and entering her own home. WTF is up with that. Is that legal? Another note said, no notice. Can we countersue for emotional damage? The note for the culprit is spider from hell. Need to explain life-saving thing inside in terms these idiots will be okay with. What would you have done if your friend was dying? She saved a life. Good Samaritan should get an award.
So she's making good points.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So Carson is starting fresh with it. Then Ryan shows up.
With food.
As they're talking, they're suspecting that Chief Lovett is working with the Families for Truth and History because of how fast this all moved. And Ryan is going to use his investigative skills that he's developed from relic hunting and check out Chief Lovett. And makes a comment that some of the moves sound like what his dad used to do.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I
checked out.
No.
Forgot about his dad.
No, I forgot the state of what was going on with his father. Like, it's, I know that he's like locked up or whatever, but I didn't forget that his father was bad news. But it's been so long since we've dealt with him that when he started mentioning him again, I was like, oh, that's right, he is alive. And
yeah,
it just forgot that he was alive.
And then Ryan is mad that there's no salsa and says he has to go talk to Tim about that.
I mean, if you got Mexican food, you got to have your salsa.
Yeah, I'm like, part of me is like, okay, is this just like an inside joke? Someone named Tim that works on the show? Or are we going to find a Tim that's like part of the family truth and history and all that? And knowing he and him show, are going to get into it.
Yeah. Knowing the show and how much they reference like Lily and Cece and all these, Darlene, all of these, it just felt like world building to me. It just felt like he goes to this place a lot. And maybe we'll see Tim, maybe we won't.
Yeah, the call.
But that would be really funny if it was just someone who gets food for the show and they always forget stuff.
All right, now we go over to Icarus Hall, and they are seance ready. There's candles everywhere, standing around the table, and Nick brings in Underworld of Hollow Oak.
Otherwise known as an evil haunted Jumanji. The second I saw this board game, I was like, oh, we're having a Jumanji episode. Like the second they brought that board game in.
Yeah, except for a lot more terrifying than Jumanji, I think.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it turned out to be a super duper fun episode.
Actually, I don't know. I'm trying to think back to the original Jumanji.
There was like lions and stuff.
I know. Would I rather deal with solving a riddle and beating a shade or whatever? Or would I rather face a lion?
Well, yeah, because a lion's just a lion. There's no like silver tricks or anything like that with a lion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd take the shade thing. I mean, you might lose your soul, but.
Bugs and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
It has been a hot minute since I've watched Jumanji.
Same.
But it hasn't been a hot minute since we've watched this show. So they have the feather, and Bess says it's like a cell phone tower for human spirits. So I just smiled and nodded because that's what I do when they explain stuff like that.
And as we're all getting set up here, George asks Bess if she's sure she wants to do this today. And Bess says that she's sure she doesn't, she's not backing down.
It made me happy that George was also being rational, like Nick, and being like, maybe we don't have to do this right now because there's other stuff going on.
It made sense. It made sense why they were so great together.
Oh, I didn't even think about it that way, but yeah. So they are going to try summoning Ron's spirit so they can get the location of the black door from him. The feather glows and then it fades. Something is holding Ron back. Nick's like, oh, well, better luck next time. I'm going to go talk to Jade.
Yep. Nancy stops him, thinks that maybe there's a clue in the game, and starts going out, going through it. Nace just says that he's out and walks away.
George and Bess open up the instructions and they're blank. Clue number one is that you're in Horseshoe Bay. Clue number two, blank instructions, put it back.
Mm-hmm. But, I love that George comments that she hates board games because there's too many rules. I just thought that was George wouldn't have the patience to learn a lot of games. And also, I feel like her and her sisters would be way too competitive that they would not enjoy playing games in their house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Could you imagine those four? That would be chaos.
Oh, yeah. Nancy catches up with Ace and tells him that she knows that he was there last night and explains that her and Tristan went through an intense experience and she doesn't know what it means, but she wanted to be honest and apologized. And he says, it's okay. It's what we agreed to do. As they're talking, she drops the dice.
Mm-hmm. And a sinister 80s voice cackles. The game sets itself up and adds names to the pieces. And you pointed out to me right away that what were the color of their pieces?
So Nancy was blue because mm-hmm. she was a blue. Bess is yellow because her apron's yellow. George is green because her apron's green. Ace was red.
Because.
So I think I have a stretch for this one. Ace is red. Nick is purple. And I think Ace is red, Nancy's blue, and Nick is stuck in between them. And so he's purple.
Oh, look at you. I like it. I feel like there was another, I cannot back this up, but my memory and my heart are telling me there was another episode where the boys had colors assigned to them. And I think it was this like reds and pinkish purple. Like, I think that they've had those colors assigned to them before. But maybe
yeah, I don't remember why, but now that does sound familiar.
But anyways, so that was kind of exciting.
All right. So Nancy's piece auto moves what she rolled and we cut to commercial. We come back and Nick is saying, I should have just left and taken the game with me. That would have been the responsible thing to do. And he's George not is wrong. Nope. And George is agreeing, saying Bess needs to be at the station in an hour.
Yeah. Some games go a lot longer than an hour.
But then the instructions appear in the book. The Grimms and their Legion of Shades have descended on the town of Hollow Oak to reap souls. Not Monopoly.
Bess is reading the instructions and she reads, "Mwah, ha, 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 ha." And then she's like, well, that's what the instructions say. I was like, yeah, but you didn't have to read it with such gusto.
Oh, I mean, how would you read "Mwah, ha, 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 ha"? You have to do it the big one.
I clearly would have, but not all five of them in that room would have done that.
No, probably not.
George would have got halfway through it and be like, this is ridiculous.
Yes, but the 80s were a little extra. Oh, I just put together that it's talking about vintage board games and it's only from the 80s. Oh, I mean, screw that.
To be fair, like, some stuff in the 80s I feel is older than others. Like, I consider a lot of, well, I guess like really old board games, there were some that were created in like the 60s and stuff. But 80s, like, I mean, your husband has some really cool old board games from the 80s, and I would consider those collectibles or vintage.
Yeah, I know. And like, I think 20 or 25 years is technically when something becomes vintage.
Okay, well, then in that case, that definitely qualifies.
Yeah, it didn't register with me.
Nancy sees a monster, but the others don't. And she manages to stop it, and she gets a token. We find out that it is a shade, and shades are lackeys for the Grimms.
They hunt the souls for the Grimms to take. And that's where Nick's putting it together that Ron didn't just die while playing. This game killed him. And they need to find and release Ron's soul. And Nick's like, no, we need to stay alive. Because he's being smart and logical.
Nancy's hyper fixating on solving the mysteries because she can't solve her own real life problems. So instead, she's bringing everyone into her drama.
Mm-hmm.
If I can say my two cents on her, if I can therapize Nancy right now, she's causing a lot of problems trying to solve these cases.
Yeah, she is being a lot more reckless and chaotic than she usually is. And yeah, I think it's because of all her emotions she's avoiding. So Nancy didn't solve the riddle, and yet her shade was banished. So mm-hmm. they kind of don't know why that was. She had thrown a candlestick at it and then threw some books, and then it poof went away. And then as they're still talking about it, ropes that only Nick can see go around him. And we learn that if you don't roll fast enough, you're all tied up, literally.
So they hand him the dice and he's able to drop them, which frees the ropes.
And we know they're all trapped into playing it. There's no stepping out now.
Yeah. So some fun little 80s montage music starts playing and they all get into it. And that was kind of cute. It reminded me of, like, we're going to solve the problem. You know, those little 80s movies. It was cute.
Yeah. So,
but did you hear the lyrics of the song?
Yes. The music in this episode was perfect.
Yeah. The lyrics I caught were, "This is a serious song." I was like, no, it's not. So I enjoyed some of the riddles. And I want to note here that for this little segment of them doing the riddles, everybody reads a riddle for somebody else when it's their turn to defeat a shade. Bess reads the one for George, somebody reads the one for Ace, etc. But when Nick does his own, which I liked as a subtle little symbolism for him being super helpful and them all relying on him. He's got to do all his own stuff, and so him just reading his own card, I don't know if it was intentional, but I read it as him having to carry a lot of this.
Yeah. I also liked how some people, like Bess and George, worked together to get the answer to her riddle, but then like Ace figured it out on his own because he's a hardy boy.
Nice. The one Bess read was about a 5-finger discount, which I really liked because when we were introduced to her in season one, she had a klepto problem.
Yes, I like that too. They all seem to be having a great time. None of them seem to be all that upset that they're doing this. Comes a Bess's turn and she gets go ahead 12 spaces and skip turn, or go back 12 spaces and don't get a card next turn. It became an issue, a turning point, because she could win the game and it'd be over and all that. And she needs to go give her statement. So that's good timing there. But she knows that Ron's soul is going to stay trapped if they don't keep playing.
And Nick, of course, votes to end it immediately. And it was kind of cool because, like you just said, they all seemed like they were enjoying the game. It was kind of nice to all have them in a lighthearted, like, this is what they'd be like if they were just having a game night together.
Didn't they try and do a game night first season? I think, maybe it was second season because they were, like, taking food from the claw. Oh, I think that's when the body came out at Nancy's house from the morgue. Yeah, I think it was second season.
So game nights don't usually work for them.
No, it has not so far.
But to your point of how they all seem like they were having fun, it shows that the stakes aren't really that high with the game. Like, they can, like, yeah, it's killed some people. But for the Drew crew, they're, like, really on top of it. And they're good at this kind of stuff. So they could just end it. And then, whoop, that was a really easy episode. That was a really easy problem of the week for them. But they choose to keep it going against Nick's wishes. And they chant again for him, don't they?
Yeah. Because Bess is like, it has to be a unanimous decision. I think more people were on board with ending it until Nancy was like, okay, but you guys all saw that globe that was glowing green. That has to be where the souls are. And then they kind of are on board. I like how Ace suggests bringing the game with Bess to go down to the station. Bess is like, that's not really a good look for me right now.
If it had been Nick's turn where he got to end the game, he would have just done it immediately.
Yep.
I would have been so happy by.
And as you said, they all start chanting his name and he says, fine, whatever. We come back from a commercial break with Nancy giving her theory that the Grimms come at the end of the game to collect the marked souls. So let's just let one of us get marked and then the others will defeat the Grimms.
Yeah, again, we have Nick saying no.
And he takes a rule book from Ace, which causes Ace's Band-Aid to fall off.
That's so gross, but I get that it's so Nancy could see a clue.
That was the most obnoxious Band-Aid. Who gets bright blue Band-Aids?
Ace.
I mean, I guess so. But
it's the color of his Hardy Boy book cover.
It's true.
They needed us to see that he had a Band-Aid.
And Nancy is kind of eyeing the Band-Aid. And Jade texts Nick saying that they will meet him tonight. And he's all excited about that. And then Nick also gets an invoice from the exterminator for the humane trap.
Nancy's sleuthing senses are tingling. She's putting it all together.
George steps away to take a call from Carson. He's disappointed that she isn't going down to the station with Bess, and he apologizes, thinking it's because he erased her work.
That was so sweet that he'd been thinking about it and that he felt bad after doing it. He did it for a reason that makes sense, and he explains it to her, but he still was like, oh no, she's a person with feelings. And I thought that was really sweet of a mentor to not just be like, no, this isn't helpful, I'm getting rid of it, but be like, oh, I have to teach you and not just like tell you no. I thought that was well done.
Very well done. I agree. And she looked like surprised, like she had forgotten about it, which I think is heartbreaking that she is just used to being shut down all the time. And so it didn't even faze her past that moment. But as he's telling her that he's dyslexic and he couldn't process her notes and needed to write it in a way that made sense to him, she does thank him for telling her that. But she also needs to go because in the background, Nancy and Ace are having a little moment there. Nancy figured out it was a ferret bite.
She's screaming at him.
Going on about like the extensive ferret mouth research that she had done to know all the incisors and all that. She knows that that's what that is. Now, Nick has an invoice for a humane trap. You know, what are you trapping at the claw? Nick is so uncomfortable.
Yeah, stuck in the middle. It was honestly, this was top humor. Like, I was laughing out loud for the majority of this episode. Even when the stakes were high, I was still laughing because it was just all done in such a comical way.
Yes, it was. So you let a beloved domesticated ferret go. Ace is like, he chose to be free twice.
You know, I was snapping my fingers and screaming at the TV because that was me last episode. I was so mad at him for releasing it back into the wild.
Yeah. I know. And George is like, oh, it's my turn. Rolls the dice.
Yeah, she was excited to roll. Like, you're risking your life here, but she's excited to do it.
I know Nancy and Ace, they're at the heart of it. They are going through a lot and have a lot of emotions. But look at the Drew crew. They have rallied behind them to first figure out what was going on between Nancy and Ace, and then trying to keep them from dying from the curse, and then trying to break the curse, and now trying to deal with them apart. Like, everyone is going through a lot with this relationship or lack thereof. So
It's not like they don't have their own stuff going on.
Right.
They're being good friends. And I'm wondering if we're going to get an episode where they all kind of lose their patience with them.
I would think so.
Maybe, unless how this episode ends actually goes that direction of them kind of separating a little bit. We'll see.
We will. It depends on if Chunky comes back as Temperance and breaks the curse.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention how when Nancy's screaming, she's like, you let Temperance go? Just kidding. She did not say that. So when George rolls, she ends up getting a card that says she has to pass the dice to the player closest on the board to her or they will pass, meaning die. And I was like, oh my God, it's Bess.
So cut over to Chief Lovett's office. Bess is giving her statement. It seems very informal.
Mm-hmm. She was doing a good job of explaining the spider bite until the ropes show up. And this, this was some top physical comedy. She's like convulsing and she is still to her dying breath doing what's right to help everyone else.
Yeah.
And like trying to get through the thing and say all the things, not being like, hello, I'm dying.
One of my notes in here is the ropes are getting tighter as she's still giving her statement because she's amazing.
It was so funny. It was so fun. I was losing my mind. My husband does not watch the show, but every once in a while he'll like be in the room or whatever. And I don't know if he knew what was going on this episode, but occasionally he'll ask me, he's like, is this a pretty common episode? Are you enjoying this episode? But this one, I'm just sitting there laughing my butt off. So he didn't say anything. He could tell I was enjoying it.
I love how Chief Lovett's like, are you all right? You seem out of sorts. Bess is like, that's how Nancy was. She was out of sorts. There were no sorts.
Then Bess like squeaks the word agony. She's trying to say what Nancy was going through while she's going through it currently.
Oh, yeah, man.
Pretty hilarious.
And Lovett says that she's not buying it and the charges stand. And Carson's like, well, I talked to Judge Goodman and the temporary restraining order expired after 24 hours. You can't keep Bess out. And then she's like, yeah, I can. I just declared it a crime scene. And Carson is still keeping together. He's like, well, that seems retaliatory. Are you sure you're being impartial?
Yeah, she's clearly not. And he was doing his best. Nick shows up just
in the champion of the episode.
In the nick of time. He hands Bess the dice. She weakly drops them to the ground because she's dying. Mm-hmm. And then they scurry out of there.
Yeah, and then they're all safe.
Mm-hmm. I loved his little, sorry, sorry, thank you, sorry, while they're leaving to Chief Lovett. It was very cute. But yeah, they're walking through the station and they see a shade with a crossbow. This made me real... I was getting, my heart was a pumping. I was getting real nervous and I wanted to be like, just run out of there. But I was like, it's a police station. You can't really do that.
Right. I had the same thought. And I was like, well, what if like Nick can't see it, but like, what if Nick shields, like would the arrow go through him into Bess?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. I was still confused about, so she's the only one who could see the shade, but I got confused a couple times throughout this episode of who all could see the Grimms when the Grimms show up. So
the Grimms, everyone can see. Missed the line the first time I watched, but then at the end, it says that when the Grimms show up, that all can see them.
So it's not just all, I heard that line, but I wasn't sure if that was all who are playing or just all as in like Jade, like could Jade see them? Cause there was
Jade could see them. Okay. Yeah, Jade saw them.
Okay, good. That helps with that storyline. There was a moment where it felt like they couldn't, and then a moment where Jade definitely did see the Grimm. So, but we'll get to that.
So as they are trying to exit the police station, Bess is shot with an arrow. The Grimms show up, says players eliminated, and her forehead is marked. And you texted me and asked, did Bess just die?
I was really into it. I was really into it. So I'd been paying attention. Like I knew the whole marked thing, but for whatever reason in that moment, I was like, well, she's dead.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. So now the Grimms are going to come try to get her at the end of the game, right?
We will see. They're going to try.
But that was what, that was the idea of the marking, right?
Right.
When she got shot, though, I was just like, oh, my God, they just killed Bess. While I'm, like, laughing their whole episode. That would have been so dark if they actually killed her here.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. They would have been totally screwed for the rest of the season.
Which I think is what you responded to my text message about. Did they just kill Bess?
I did. All right, why don't we go ahead and take a break here and then come back and see if Bess makes it.
Hey, we are back. We are at the claw and sunglasses are being placed on Bess's face to cover up her creepy dead eyes.
She is still breathing though, so that's a good sign. Yes. They're talking about the game and they're saying, okay, no one land on the graveyard until we know how to defeat the Grimms. Nick did some research because he's turning into Bess this episode.
Somebody has to, and since they took her out.
Yeah. This is not the first haunted 80s board game. Similar to when the Tylenol was poisoned in Chicago that year that Nancy points out, there were a whole bunch of kids' toys snuck onto the shelves with that were laced with the supernatural.
Some nutcase laced toys with evil? That was a cute George line.
Ace is doing a search and finds that silver can weaken entities enough to vanquish them. Nick doesn't seem convinced, and Nancy's like, wait, but I used the silver candlestick, and then I was able to take out that first shade, so I think that checks out.
Yeah, that's enough to solve it. So the next riddle that comes up, this was so funny and true to her character. Nancy is frustrated and she's over it, and that there's a tongue twister riddle, and the answer to the tongue twister is tongue twister. And the way Kennedy just says the answer is tongue twister was so clever and just like spot on.
Yeah.
Just like
they were all killing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We go over to the police department where Chief Lovett is talking with Ryan, saying, hey, I've heard you've been checking up on me. And he's like, wow, it only took two calls to get on your radar. And yes.
Ugh, I hate her. So we find out that she moved here to help, quote unquote, rebuild wholesome community in wake of terrible disaster. Barf, barf. It was very make Horseshoe Bay great again to me, and I hate her.
It also sounds like a new TV station purchasing one, saying they want to bring a whole lot of wholesome content, and then canceling a whole bunch of LGBTQ and diverse shows. Just throwing it out there.
Mic drop.
So Ryan's like, hey, why don't you let Bess back in? You know, I know that you were in this hit and run accident back in 2009. And the way she's just like, that was my neighbor's cat. And we worked it out. Nice try. It was still a cat. Like, you were being way too. Yeah.
And she's admitting to driving away after killing a cat.
But then he mentions that he knows she also took an extended leave of absence in 2016. And he can find out why. His dad's still in prison, but he is still connected.
What do you think that's going to be?
Okay. So I think they are building Ryan up to be similar to his father.
Sure. What do you think her extended leave of absence is going to be?
Oh, you were talking about that. I don't know. I got distracted. I was like, oh no, he's going to go evil. And then Nancy's going to have to stop her own father.
There will be like an episode that deals with that. Sure. Because of the whole relic trading and all that now too. We don't have a lot of time to get a full evil Ryan. Remember last season we were thinking there's gonna be an evil Bess? I think a lot of that got put on the sidebars because, like, I think they might have been wanting to do some of those storylines, but had to put it aside because it's the last season.
Yeah, because Chief Lovett came in to ruin everything. So what do you think her leave of absence was?
I think that she probably dabbled in the supernatural and she has like supernatural background. Maybe she has an ex-lover who was a witch or a mermaid or something. Just had to get the word mermaid out there. Like, maybe she had something going on supernatural wise that is a big cover up now because she's, you know, working for the anti-supernatural people, wholesome families of what the hell. And so it's a cover up for that. I'm sure she's changed her ways for the worse. She's changed them for the worse.
Yeah. And she tells him that doesn't need to dig anymore. Bess can go back into the historical society, but it's not smart because Bess has pissed off a lot of people.
She folded quick.
So it's gotta be something.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go over to the Claw and they are going through Tom and Rebecca Silver.
Oh my God. I want that silver lobster. I want it so bad. I don't know what it is or what I would do with it, but it needs to be in my house.
Yeah, it can go hang out with the merman. That would look a little out of place.
It's like a 10-inch lobster.
Yeah, it's fine. But anyways, Ace is asking George if George finds it hard when Nick talks about Jade. And she tells him that it gets easier, especially when you have something to focus on. She said, you know, it's school for me. What do you have? And he says, I have dead bodies at the morgue. I'm like, oh, Ace, come on.
He looks so somber when he says it too. I really love the talking about real things, like talking about relationships in the middle of these magical moments.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is what's fun about these shows, is bring the real in while you're dealing with ghosts and goblins.
Yeah, and it grounds it there. And Nancy is talking with Nick. You know, she's sharpening knives. He's building a silver shove stick.
She looked insane with that knife. There's a point where she like scratches her head with it. And I was like, this girl is cracking me up. But also, I do not want to be friends with her.
No. I want to be like a Lily to Nancy. So like, if I have a problem, I can depend on her. But we don't got to hang out every day.
Don't got to hang out at all. Nope.
Nancy is talking to Nick about relationships and being like, why can we make a decisive plan to battle ancient Grimms, but we can't do relationships? And Nick's like, well, it's because of the supernatural. That's why we can't do it. Jade likes that he's all calm and collected. All of this makes him not so calm and collected. Therefore, which, not viable.
I totally buy all that. And I see why he thinks all that. I do appreciate that the show flips it and that a lot of that's in his head and that he's making assumptions about Jade because, you know, the common person, the average person probably would be freaked out by it, or he's jumping to conclusions about Jade and they show him that they're not like that.
All right. So they get back to playing. They have silver all around them. They got the necklaces on. They just put a tray on top of Bess. George is like, hey, why don't we all just move our pieces to the end?
This was wild. So they all just grab them and Nick's like, no, wait, and put them at the end. Why would they think that would be okay? Did they think that that was just gonna, like, they cheated? So they got punished for cheating by being marked, right? That's what happened.
Right. Oh, yeah. The voice came over and said, like, never cheat or something like that. And they're all eliminated. And now Nick is the final player.
If he had done that too, the series would be over and they'd all be dead.
Well, like, yeah, but it wouldn't happen because he's smarter than them.
It's just like that. That was a moment that I had a lot of trouble being like, they really just did that? That was crazy. But it leads to a super fun scene. So I was okay with it.
Yes. And like part of me was like, well, do they know that Nick can do this? And so they're just like, okay, let's stop dragging it out. Let's just do it. Nick can defeat them. And then here we are. That is very irresponsible.
Well, yeah. And even if that was their plan, like, what if he'd grabbed his two and put him there? They'd all be dead. Like, there was no plan. They were being crazy.
Yep. And then Nick says, when have we ever been safe in the graveyard?
Loved that.
And then come back from commercial and Nick has gotten everyone safe. They got the sunglasses on. They're all covered in their silver.
Resting Ace's head on Nancy's shoulder. Which is very cute and sad.
What if just doing that had caused a curse? I guess that wasn't them acting on their feelings, though. It was Nick imposing.
This is why we're best friends, because I was like, wait, can they cuddle? Like, it went through my head too. But yeah, the fact that they didn't do it themselves.
So Nick gets his weapons ready and they start coming in the door and there are so many cheesy 80s lines.
And the music is great. He gets like, he kills one of them and then he gets his like shirt ripped and he rips off his sleeve. I was living for all of it. I thought it was a super fun like action scene, because we get, you know, moments, but we never really have like full-on like fighting, like swinging weapons and stuff. I mean, there was that sword fight a couple seasons ago, but for the most part we don't get this kind of action scene.
It was a blast. I loved it. I think I saw that all of the shades were played, and maybe all the Grimms were played by the same. So I guess she's just an actress, Jenaya, who was Dead Lucy and pretty much all the scary big bads kind of thing.
You played all of them?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, she's super talented. They've had her like in every season doing something. Jade shows up, because of course Jade shows up, and I spit out my drink when they say, what the actual hell? What else are you going to say?
Right. I mean, I think I would see that happening. I would just slowly back out and leave. That's how I would play it. But that would be like pulling an ace. where he just sneaks out unseen, but Jade is staying there. Jade is in it.
Well, they do try to leave, and Nick's like, can't just let you go, and more Grimms show up. So this was where I got a little confused of if Jade could see them or not, and I figured out that they can, but it just took a second.
And as Nick is taking them all down, he's telling Jade that he hid the side because he likes Jade, and that he is actively engaged in supernatural stuff. The spider situation, C-section, the sack of ghost spiders out of Nancy. The supernatural ruins every relationship. And he talks about George and Odette. Although I don't know that that's what ruined their relationship. And then he's like, and then Nancy and Ace, they have a death curse. They can't even be in a relationship. And Nick says that he doesn't want that for them. But then the King Grimm shows up. And he has the souls, and he is way more powerful than the others.
This was where I got confused about whether or not everyone could see the Grimms or just the people playing the game. Because Nick, like, flies backwards, and it looks like he was, like, shoved. And from our perspective and Jade's perspective, nothing touched him. But then when he's, like, kind of trying to get up off the ground, he looks and you see the Grimm, and he's, like, got his little arm out. He's like, oh, he, like, magicked him back. So Jade can see the Grimm. So that was where I was kind of figuring that out. But they definitely do see the Grimm because they throw a silver platter at them and say the cheesiest line ever.
I'll serve you on a silver platter.
It was great. I loved it.
And then that Grimm starts going after Jade, and they keep fighting back until Nick has to send Jade away saying, I can't beat this thing if I'm worried about you.
He's really trying to push them away, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he thinks it's for the right, he thinks it's to protect them. So, yeah. But here he specifically is like, I'm distracted, you're distracting me, go.
Yeah.
So he wins, Nick wins and gets the globe and knocks the thing out the front door, and that's that.
Let the door hit you on the way out.
Come back from the last commercial break. The Drew crew is all awake, and Bess is like, oh, I missed a lot. And I'm just like, yeah, normally you're the one that solves everything.
Yeah. And Nick just finished this badass thing. It just took down all these Grimms single-handedly. And he's like, well, at least my breakup with Jade was memorable.
So sad. And no one acknowledges that more than just like a little like half-hearted smile. Like a, not a smile,
right,
but like,
right. A, just a,
like a,
recognition. They take the soul globe and use one of the tokens that they got and open it, and a bunch of souls come out.
Sarah, you love ignoring good outfits. How are we not going to talk about Nick's outfit? Nick is wearing a shirt now because his other one got ripped. It is reminiscent of a shirt you made me. It's a claw shirt, and it says still summer at the claw. And I was like, I would 100% wear that. And I was like, oh, Sarah basically made me a shirt like that.
You don't want Nick's other outfit with the ripped sleeve and all that.
I got a couple of those laying around already.
He's got the nipples popping out there.
You know I have shirts like that.
That's true, I know.
But anyways, you were saying something about a soul globe?
So it was just, you know, the small thing they did, turned the token and released all the souls. Ron briefly makes contact, but keeps saying, help me. And then the feather fades out again. Bess says they have to wait another month or so before they try the seance again. That doesn't check out with me. Like, I thought it was just like this was the ideal conditions, but it's not the only conditions.
Yeah, I wonder what that was. I wonder if that was her being like, we need to step away from this for a minute. You know, like maybe if she was just throwing out numbers. But Nancy's all in distress, saying it was all for nothing. And Nick's like, we freed souls, Nancy. That's not nothing.
Yeah. And then she sends everyone away, says that she's going to do some therapeutic cleaning. So she'll take care of all that.
Go over to the Drew house with George and Carson. And George comes out as having ADHD. And it was kind of cool to have her and Carson having this talk about the way different people's brains work. And you know, it's all about how you see things through a different lens. I thought that was kind of a nice conversation that we don't get a lot on these type of shows.
Yeah, I liked it. And she thinks that she has ADHD because her teacher thought that she might want to get tested back in fifth grade, but her Aunt May chewed out that teacher And then that was the end of it. And she never got the help.
Which is sadly a real thing.
And from what we have heard about Aunt May, also seems to fit. Back over at the Claw, Nancy is scrubbing the floor and Ace comes in.
This is a mess.
The Claw or us?
So melodramatic.
All of the stuff went on and Nancy is still like hyper focused on her and Ace and Chunky.
Mm-hmm. She does point out, though, that as friends, we never lied to each other. So she's making good points that they're both they're acting differently. So they're not friends like they say they are.
The waver that you can hear in Kennedy's voice as she's talking. Oh, it was so good. Because Nancy is normally so calm and collected. Well, yeah.
She can be.
She can be.
Not in this situation. She is not.
No, it's just she is on the verge this entire time.
They confess how the other has been making them feel. And they agree to take some space from each other. And Ace leaves. He's like, well, let me just get my cell phone and go. And I really loved this. The camera stays on Nancy. She's facing us. And you see him walk, like, go behind her. And you hear Florence, the car, turn on and hear him drive away. And you just watch her face. And I was really reading it and loving it as, like, her anticipating him coming back.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
No, and she says a single tear.
Mm-hmm. A beautiful, beautiful scene. Then we go over to a cute scene where Jade shows up to talk to Nick. He didn't think he was ever going to see them again.
No, they tell him, well, you finally opened up. And Nick says that he was just trying to protect the relationship. And he was afraid if he showed all of him that Jade wouldn't want to be with him.
And very maturely admits that this is a thing he does, which is holding himself back in different parts of his life.
Jade tells him that he missed a little goo on his cheek. How are you going to do that, Nick? Like,
I would be taking
like 5 showers.
I took it as a line. I took it as I'm just saying this so I can graze your cheek.
Okay. Well, but it worked.
That's something I would have done.
And maybe Jade, that's true.
Has another corny line, but this one was so cute. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Nice little 80s reference there.
Mm-hmm.
To go with the whole board game 80s thing. And Nick says, in the spirit, which I like the word spirit because they just mentioned ghosts, in the spirit of being open, I really want to kiss you right now. They are both so freaking cute. And this scene to me was definitely solidifying that I don't actually want him and George to get back together. Because earlier this season I did, and now I don't.
No, I don't think
I'm 100% on board with this. I have a reference for you. Do you know what movie I'm about to reference?
Well, not Ghostbusters.
So the movie Ghost, which I keep bringing up on this podcast, that you need to watch at some point.
I will.
So when they go in to have their kiss, there's like this light coming from behind them, like between their faces. And the camera kind of turns so you can see them. But it starts as just like their silhouettes with this bright light behind them. That's a big moment in the, I won't say, I've basically at this point spoiled the entire movie for you. But that's a big moment in Ghost where it's shot similarly.
And okay.
So I would like to think that was intentional. But I don't know. I'm just seeing that movie everywhere now. But it was a very pretty scene and I like them a lot together.
Yes. Agreed. I did not like this over at the Historical Society. I'm not gonna lie.
You called it, though. You called it.
Yeah, Ryan and Bess are going back to the Historical Society talking about how Lovett has something in her past that she doesn't want brought up. Bess thanks him for pulling an Everett to help her, which once again makes me think that Ryan's going to go more full on Everett.
Mm-hmm.
What if Ryan had something in his past that his dad took him to the Black Door?
Oh my god,
revealed.
Oh my god, it's gonna be revealed. Yeah, totally, that could happen.
I mean, he lived like a super privileged life that his dad would have done that if he had the means to.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
and Ryan would not know anything about it. Yeah.
then we can get our bad Ryan episode, but it's just an episode and then like another episode of him feeling bad and them all forgiving him and whatever, without doing like a full season long story of like he's actually going bad. Ooh, I like that. Also, how long do you think we're going to go before we find out what Lovett's thing is? Is that going to come up from the water goo too? Or they'll just find out what it is on their own.
I'm thinking we'll just find out.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, now I think, let's finish the episode and then get into more. So they are at the Historical Society, and on the porch, there is a pile of blood, a pool of blood, not a pile of blood. There is a pool of blood. Blood
bucket challenge.
And a bunch of horseshoes. And they're laid out like the sign on the Historical Society. And Bess goes, game on, you supernatural prudes.
I really wanted to use a different word than that, but that's okay. Yep. I got the point across.
And then we wrap up the episode over at the Claw. Nancy is, you know, just talking out loud, asking where Ron went, and looks over at the game board and he is by Town Hall.
Yeah. His piece is back with a little name on it and everything.
And she gives Bess a call to let her know that Ron communicated. They know where to go for the black door. Town Hall.
Dun, dun, dun! I wonder if they're going to, like, how quickly this is all going to get wrapped up. I'm excited. I'm excited for the final six episodes.
Ugh, yeah.
They can do a lot in six episodes.
Okay. So now I am thinking that Lucy is coming back. Not like coming back from the dead. I think we are going to get more with Lucy.
Like more story about that whole situation. Yeah.
Was it just she kind of just found her peace and went on after Nancy found out the truth? Okay. That's I wonder if she has the capability of coming back.
Oh, like coming back?
Yeah. I wonder if... Well, now this is just assuming that Ryan did have the black door and all that to hide something. I wonder if he found out that Lucy was pregnant and his dad forced him to go do that. Because how do you define like what a sin is? And if he convinced him that what he did was wrong, what would that do though?
Like if he learned that information, what would that do for us or for Ryan?
It could turn him back against his father and not want to turn in him. Assuming that I'm also right that he's going to go on evil and all that.
I definitely making
a lot of leaps on my part. I understand that.
What? You've never done that. You've never done that. I totally get where you're coming from. And I think you're right. But I also think that I could see that being a plan they had maybe for this season originally or maybe for the next season. But knowing that you have to wrap it all up, I don't know if we're actually going to get your prediction or if that was just kind of what they were kind of wanting to do. Like they might tamper with it, but in six episodes, I don't think we're going to get I don't think that it's going to be satisfying if they go that route.
Well, I still hope that we do get a Lucy. Somehow Lucy comes back because it's such a parallel to Nancy and Ace's relationship and Lucy and Ryan's.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be just good to have that.
So, Sarah, after this episode, do you think Nancy and Ace are going to end up together at the end of the season?
I think they will, because I think that they know that that's what the fans want. Mm-hmm. And so I think the writers did that with that in mind.
I agree. I think they will as well. But it'll be like the last episode.
Yeah. I could even see like if they do a flash forward. And they reconnect or something.
I'm not a big fan of flash forwards. Like I watch them, I'm like, oh yay, everyone's happy. But I there's always an exception. Typically, I would rather be left with, oh, I think it's gonna end this way, or oh, I could see this being a happy whatever. But all right, so I made a statement last episode that I wasn't gonna give. Either of my MVPs, Super Sleuth, aka Most Helpful, or Entertaining to Bess. Well, this episode helped me with that by taking her out of half the episode.
Yes. I thought you were still going to give it to her.
No, one episode in, I get to keep my word. The problem now Because the other rules, all of these rules are arbitrary because this is a game you and I just made up for ourselves. But the other thing is we don't allow us to give it to the same person in an episode. So like mm-hmm. I can't give Super Sleuth and Entertaining both to Ned Nickerson.
Right. So which one are you going to pick for him?
I went with, for Ned, Entertaining, because while he was super duper useful, I gave him that last time and he was cracking me up the whole time. Like, he was so funny and he was also so correct. Like, it was a really good episode to put yourself in the place. Like, I was Nick the whole episode. I'm like, no, leave the house. No, we shouldn't play the game. No, don't do this. Like, I was Nick through the episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm invested in Jade now, which I wasn't too sure about before this episode. His fight scene was just so well done. I really, the whole episode was him for me. So I'm giving him Entertaining.
Okay. I'm giving him the other one.
Oh, perfect. You want to say why?
We cover it all. I think we know why.
He did everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do for Entertaining then?
Well, so I can't give it to him for that too.
That rule we don't break. I don't think we've ever done the same person in the same episode.
Yeah. No, it would have to be really epic to do that.
I mean, this one was close.
It was close. Yeah.
It was definitely his episode.
Okay. You go first with who you gave the Super Sleuth to.
Okay. So this will probably be surprising, but again, it's because I couldn't give it to Nick. I gave Super Sleuth / Most Helpful to Ryan, because he got Bess back in the historical society, so Bess can now be helpful in the future, and Bess is the most helpful of all of them, so Ryan helped Bess save all of them for the rest of the season. So that all is right. What I'm doing.
That makes
and
sense.
That is how I get around my Bess rule.
Okay, I think my most entertaining might go to George this episode, because I think she had a lot of great like reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones with Carson and everything. I thought that her responses made a lot of sense. And she has such great facial expressions. And then also just her awkwardness, like with Nancy yelling at Ace about the ferret and all that. And just her, okay, my turn, and going. I don't know. I enjoyed her in this episode.
That's a solid choice. And I feel like it's hard because I love all these people. I feel like we have not given George that much love this season. So I mm-hmm. like that choice. All right, Sarah, what is the next episode?
Episode 8 of season 4 is called The Crooked Bannister.
Ooh.
Which is the title of the 48th Nancy Drew book, which this is episode 408.
That's exciting. Have you read that book?
I'm pretty sure I did. And I think I actually read it somewhat recently. All right. I cannot wait until next week to watch and to come back on here and chat with you about it. Thank you everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. Please reach out to us on our socials. If you have anything that you want to say or have any of your own predictions, we would love to hear from you.
Until next time, keep on sleuthing.
Bye.
What is the perfect movie franchise? Does such a thing truly exist? The License to Watch podcast sets out to answer that age-old question. Join comedians Matt McGregor, Harris McCabe, and Colin Shaw as they dissect your favorite film franchises one movie at a time. Along for the ride is a different film industry guest for every episode. Listen as the boys play judge, jury, and executioner and decide which of your favorite movie franchises are worthy of a license to watch.